We do want to keep those in difficult circumstances in our thoughts and prayers, especially there in Florida. And now with the hurricane approaching, as I record this on Tuesday, yes, we need to have concern for our fellow man, do we not? Well, we certainly do. Last Lord's Day, we began a study of the book of Philemon, and we noted the question, why did the Apostle Paul send Onesimus, the runaway slave, back to his master, Philemon, even after he had obeyed the gospel? Well, the answer was certainly that Onesimus needed to make restitution, and Philemon needed to give forgiveness. And of course, thus, there needed to be a reconciliation. And that would be the answer to our question. And then we looked at the characteristics of Paul's inspired letter. Paul's approach, it was in the spirit of meekness, verses 1 through 10. And then we noted verses 11 through 19, Paul's arguments, they were strong and helpful to do the right thing. And Paul's appeal was one of hope in verses 20 through 22. And no doubt Philemon's heart was melted after he read this inspired letter from his brother in Christ, the great Apostle Paul. At the end of the program, we mentioned we wanted to continue our study as we need to answer the question, how did Paul handle the delicate situation of Christianity versus slavery? And also, we want to look at some lessons from our entire study. Well, we're going to begin that continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And that's the most important thing we can be doing. And we want to mention this. We want to invite you and your family, of course, to join in here with us at 540 East Morgan Street. That's in Martinsville, yes, and we gather together in our Bible classes to what? To study God's precious word, of course. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we want to do so in the proper manner, thus having a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Something else we want to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments are appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Also, our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And don't let me forget that if you would like to have a Bible study, we are very much wanting that opportunity to take place. So just let us know. Now let's get into our study as we're continuing with the book of Philemon. And we're asking the question today about the delicate situation of Christianity versus slavery. How did Paul handle that? Yes, it's a delicate situation. As we note, not only critics of the Bible, but even some members of the Lord's church have asked this question, why was slavery not condemned by the inspired writers of the New Testament? So yes, we need to study this together. Atheists and agnostics like pointing out that Christianity allowed slavery to continue, but in actuality, their attacks are easily answered as we're going to discuss. God's way of handling social ills is, and I want to emphasize this, by changing the lives of individuals. That's right. Notice with me Romans 1:16. as the Apostle Paul writing to the Church of Christ in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, as the gospel has the power to change our lives and thus mold us after the image of Christ as we follow his example, having his mind by taking in his teaching. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's right. It is powerful, and it can change our lives. And we need to be open to change, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. If we're accountable, we need to change and submit to God's will and give up our own will. Notice, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now this is Matthew 7:12. We should all know this, the golden rule. What if everyone followed the golden rule? Well, not only would there be no slavery, but there would be no mistreatment of anyone. That's the way to change the ills of society, is to follow the will of God. You remember a great president of our country, Abraham Lincoln, being a Bible believer. He said, since I would not be a slave, I could not be a master. Think of all the other social ills that could be eliminated by practicing the golden rule. That's right. Many religious people, and this includes some of the Lord's church, think that the gospel is designed to change the social environment before the individual can be changed. No, 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 that's not the case. This is not coming from the Word of God. And this false view has the doctrine of Christ becoming a social gospel. And that's not right. But God's way changes the social environment by first changing the individual through his or her obedience to the gospel. That's right, the gospel of Christ. That's where the power of God is. And notice with me now 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are we bringing into captivity every thought in our mind to the obedience of Christ? Well, that would change us in a proper way in submitting to the will of God, would it not? We know it would. So let's keep that in mind. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, here is the Christian armor, yes, that we need to put on. And what is our offensive weapon? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, let's note that the book of Philemon clearly refutes the false concept of a social gospel. That's right. We noted Paul, in dealing with this situation of Onesimus, sent him back, not to be a slave again, but to be a brother in Christ. He would mean so much more to Philemon in this situation of a brother. Now, Paul did not organize a protest march against slavery down Roman's main street. He didn't start a revolt after being released from prison. We know that's not the case. Of course not. But some seem to think this is the way to go about things. For example, several years back, on the 4th of July, there was a protester having come from another country, coming to the United States of America. And what did this protester do? Climbed up on the Statue of Liberty, causing the area to be shut down from the thousands of people wanting to celebrate our Independence Day. Officers risked their lives to bring her down. Well, did this protest change any racial prejudice of anyone? That was their purpose. But it did not. Of course not. The gospel of Christ, when obeyed, that changes not only racial prejudices, but notice, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's clear, isn't it? That's homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed. You've been baptized in Christ, into Christ, contacting his precious blood. That's what's being referred to here as they were washed, they were baptized for the remission of their sins. And thus, notice it goes on to say, but ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You see what changed the characteristics of these Corinthians? They were involved in all these sins that were in that verse. Yes. And thus, some were of you, such were of some of you, but you are washed, you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now you're sanctified. You see, that's what changes things. The power of the gospel of Christ as we submit to it turns our life completely around. And since there's not a class system in the body of Christ, Christian slaves are equal in God's eyes with free brethren. Back in the early days of the church, as you would see this in some passages we want to look at. From Paul's inspired letter to Philemon's home congregation, let's look at now carefully the following important passage. And this, again, was sent to Philemon's home congregation there in Colossae, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. Now notice, all of us, notice this, bond nor free, doesn't matter, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. That's agape love, isn't it? Which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians 3, 11 through 15. Now, I want us to also look at Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, notice, There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now that's clear, isn't it? But also we look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For as the body is one, there's only one true church, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, the one church, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, here it comes, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's right. And I want us to note what Brother Robert R. Taylor Jr. So eloquently put, as he provided us with several more sound arguments for answering the Bible critics concerning their attacks on Christianity for allowing slavery to continue. Now this quote comes from the book he wrote, Studies in 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, the book we're studying. This is page 229. And I quote, "We can be grateful that Christianity has helped eliminate this awful system from human hearts and human lives. Christianity did it by slow degree of teaching the dignity of human lives and not by an instant confrontation of the revolutionary spirit. The former was wise. The latter would have been disastrous for the infant cause. If Christianity had demanded and could have enforced an immediate decree to the end of slavery just as soon as each slave obeyed the gospel, slaves would have been baptized to be released from their physical shackles, not for their sinful shackles." Good point, isn't it? "Furthermore, masters would have rejected Christianity without giving it even a surface examination because of what it demanded from their departing slaves as soon as they left the waters of baptism. Christ and the apostles knew what they were doing by choosing the sure course and not the highly explosive course of hasty action." And to that I say a hearty amen. Now, with the time left, I want us to look at 10 lessons, if we have time, for our application in the Lord's church today, as we've studied together Philemon, the inspired letter from the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. So that would be the first lesson. Paul converted people while he was in prison, which shows that he was preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ in prison. Yes, and as the book of Acts ends, chapter 28, verses 30 through 31, you can see what Paul was doing. And he was preaching the kingdom of God. Yes, and all those other things that needed to be taught. In Philippians 10 and 11, Philemon 10 and 11, the letter we're studying. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me." Yes. So let's ask ourselves, are we taking advantage of our opportunities to spread the gospel of Christ even when in a restricted situation? That's a good lesson for us all, is it not? Number two, Onesimus had been unprofitable before becoming a Christian, but after becoming a Christian, he was profitable, as we just noted in verse 11. So Christianity makes a difference in our lives, does it not? Well, it certainly does. Let us never forget, without Christ we can do nothing, John 15:5. But through Christ we can do all things which strengtheneth us, Philippians 4:13. Lesson number three, repentance requires restitution when possible. Sometimes it's not. But in this case, as Onesimus had wronged Philemon, it was possible. And thus Paul sent him back. And so we need to study Matthew 21, 28 through 32, Acts 26, 20, 2 Corinthians 7, 10. And asked ourselves, have we made restitution when possible? Now, lesson number 4. Christians must be willing to forgive a brother or sister who has repented of his or her sins. And Matthew 18, 21 and 22 makes it clear. So do we have the attitude of Christ as he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. Now lesson number 5. Christianity regulated slavery and gradually eradicated it. That's right. Ephesians 6:5 through 9, Colossians 2:22 through 4, chapter 4, verse 1. And as we noted, Matthew 7:12, if that is followed, it alone would do away with slavery. And so we asked ourselves, are we living by the golden rule? Lesson number 6, God's providence can be involved in bringing the preacher and the lost sinner together, as we noted in Philemon verse 10. And since God is no respecter of persons, neither can a faithful Christian be a respecter of persons. This is lesson number 7. In Acts 10:35, Peter perceived that God is no respecter of persons, and certainly that is true, and we cannot be respecter of persons either. That does away with racial discord, doesn't it? Well, of course, in Romans 2:11 also. And so we asked ourselves, do we love even our enemies? Christ said to in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Are we following the teachings of Christ? Lesson number 8. Paul's inspired letter to Philemon taught us a great lesson concerning Christian love, because it involved concern, care, and compassion for others, just as we note in Ephesians 4:32. Yes, we need to have compassion and show kindness to one another. So we asked ourselves, are we practicing Christian love? Again, this is agape love, is it not? It certainly is. Lesson number 9. Paul's sacrifices for others is seen as he sent Onesimus, who was very helpful. Remember that. He's profitable to Paul, isn't he? Yes, and this is an excellent example for Christians to be willing to make sacrifices for others, as we are to present our bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, Romans 12:1. Yes, let us be willing to sacrifice, as Paul is a great example. And we certainly don't want to leave this lesson out, lesson number 10. As Paul was, in a sense, a mediator between Onesimus and Philemon to bring them together. Well, he certainly was, wasn't he? Well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is our mediator, reconciling us back to God the Father as we obey the gospel of Christ. And we certainly should all amen that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice verses 3 through 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's right. We only have Christ as our mediator, because he is both God and he was in the flesh as man, and that's the qualifications for a mediator to be able to relate to both sides. And only Christ can do that. And so, as we close out our study, thankfully Onesimus came into contact with the Apostle Paul, who believed that the gospel was for all. We sometimes sing Jacob McCaleb's great hymn, "The Gospel is for All." But do we really believe what we're singing? We need to ask ourselves. How could Philemon or anyone with a tender heart, for that matter, refuse Paul's request? Is there any doubt as to Philemon's reaction once he finished reading Paul's inspired letter? And also Philemon would have read Paul's Colossian letter as well. So maybe, just maybe, Philemon said to Onesimus, "Instead of you serving my family this Lord's day, would you be a server during the Lord's Supper? And after the services, would you share with your brethren the work while you were with our beloved brother Paul?" I can imagine that. Our hearts should be melted as we study this inspired letter. Let us realize that just as Paul was willing to pay the debt which Onesimus owed Philemon, our Lord and Savior was willing to pay the debt which we as sinners owe God. What does that mean to us? Have we even obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist you if you have not. We'll sit down and study further what we need to do in order to become a child of God. We have to hear the truth. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ who died for our sins, taking our place, John 8, 24. And then we're ready to repent. Here's where we change our wills. This is what we talked about earlier on. Changing the mind of people, individuals. That's what's going to change society's ills. And we are turning to go in a new direction by following the teachings of Christ. And we're going to turn away from that sinful life. Yes, we need to do that. Luke 13, 3 and 5, it's a command. And now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. We're saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that good confession, now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. This is what it means to have our sins washed away by the blood of Christ, but that's under the watery grave. We're buried into his death. Study Romans 6, 3 through 6. As Ananias told Paul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and do what? And wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, submitting to his authority." Yes, in Acts 22, 16, that's clear, isn't it? And so we stand ready to assist anyone in putting on Christ. What more important thing could we do? And we appreciate so very much you listening today. And we want to encourage everyone to do what the Bible says.